It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Or on Twitter, you can join us at hashtag Giants Chat. And the day is finally here. We've been talking about it for more than 2 months. The start of NFL free agency today at 4 o'clock. Rumors are out there. Teams are poised to make moves. And the Giants finally did what we've been saying they were going to do for about 2 months to get ready for free agency. They've cleared their books. They now have upwards of $25, $26 million in cap space. And if these reports are true, Chris Neath took the pay cut we all expected, getting his base salary down to $1 million. You know, it could be a little bit more if he reaches his incentives. And if Chris Neath starts, you know, 15, 16 games and plays well, then, yeah, sure, you can pay him $2 million a year in addition to the $4 million guarantee. That's fine. David Boss, the Giants, if the reports are correct, have decided to part ways with him. Early indications are that it will not be a post-June 1st cut, which means the Giants will only save just under $2 million, about one and three quarters of $1 million in terms of salary cap space by letting go of David Boss. And Steve Weatherford does a little renegotiation as well, or restructuring, excuse me, and his salary will get cut down by about $1 million if reports are correct, and he will give the Giants a little bit more cap space. So I guess Steve will have to not buy quite as much protein powder in the next year with that salary renegotiation, getting that contract number down. Remember, it's not a pay cut, it's just a restructure. David Boss is cut, though, and Chris Neath did take a full-out pay cut. So there is a lot of news out there. I'll try to touch on some of the rumors. I already have a full bank of calls. You guys are excited to talk about the Giants. We're going to get to you in just a second. Ralph Vacchiano reporting just a little while ago that it looks like Payton Hillis is going to come to town and try to sign an extension with the Giants, perhaps a two-year deal, providing the Giants with a little bit of running back depth. If you listened to this show over the past 2 years, I don't know if Payton Hillis is a long-term answer there, but for a lot of people that like Toby Gerhardt out there, Payton Hillis does have some of those same qualities. He's a good pass protector. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a powerful runner. Now, there are two things that Payton Hillis does that Gerhardt doesn't do, but in a bad way. Hillis has had a lot of fumbling issues in the past, which worries me. I know a lot of Giant fans aren't quite as worried about it as I am, but I would be concerned about that. And Payton Hillis also has an injury history that Toby Gerhardt doesn't. So those are two things I'd keep an eye on. But again, if McAdoo wants a guy to have that John Kuhn type of role in his offense, where really Kuhn's biggest strength is as a pass protector, Payton Hillis can't fill that void. I'm not sure if the Payton Hillis film room has hit Giants.com yet. I imagine it has. He's a free agent, so it's probably up there. Go to Giants.com, click on the film room, go to Payton Hillis, and it's either Roman Obin or Sean O'Hara. I don't remember which one. I think it's Roman. He breaks down a great play where Payton Hillis not only protects Eli Manning, he sits a defensive tackle right on his rear end on a play. So he's a good pass protector. That is a good depth signing for the Giants. But in my opinion, you still need to go out there and try to find a veteran running back that you can trust to carry it 15 times a game. I don't think Hillis is that guy. Rumors out there that Tremaine McBride will come to an agreement with the Giants on a contract to stay here. I know a lot of Giant fans were upset, saying, these are the type of bargain basement deals you can't do. I want a starter. Well, guys, if Tremaine McBride is your fourth corner, he's a special teams player, and he's damn good in coverage. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's a low-cost guy. He's exactly the type of depth you not only want, but need on your roster if you're going to have a complete football team. All right? Jermaine McBride at that type of price, and it's going to be probably a little bit above the veteran minimum. I wouldn't expect it to be a big contract. It's a good, solid signing. You need guys like that to fill out your roster. You really do. Don't underestimate the small positive things that a guy like Jermaine McBride brings to your roster. Because he does. And also rumors out there that the Giants are closing on a contract with Josh Brown. Not a surprise. I thought Josh fit in here very well last year. Showed a good leg, could kick through the wind at MetLife Stadium. And I think it's a good thing that he'll be back for a long time to come. If, again, those reports are correct that he's close to signing a contract extension with the New York Football Giants. Now, in terms of guys outside the organization, rumors are the Giants are heavily involved in Evan Dietrich Smith, which would not be a surprise. We've talked about him a lot over the last couple of months. You know, Alex Mack was somebody we also discussed, but with that transition tag, getting him is going to be almost impossible, and you can get Dietrich Smith for a lot less money. And you're probably still looking at something in the $7 million a year type of range, the same type of money you gave David Boss, but Dietrich Smith is young. Frankly, there's not a lot of tread off the tire there. He's only started 24 games in his NFL career, including 16 last year. He's a younger guy. He's only 27. So to me, that would be an excellent signing to solidify the center of that line. But then you still got to worry about finding a couple of guards here to fill out that depth chart and be ready to go on the offensive line this upcoming season. So I think those are good moves. I'm all in favor of Evan Dietrich Smith if he can get a deal done. I'm not sure how fast that deal is going to get done. I'm sure he wants to visit with other teams and see what other offers are on the table, unless maybe he did that over the course of that three-day negotiating period. So we'll see what happens with him. I think it'd be a good move for the Giants if they do sign him. And they'll look elsewhere, too. A lot of rumors about tight ends. Brandon Pettigrew is a name that's been thrown out there a lot. I mean, he's fine. He has some injury history, which I'd worry about. Never as productive as people thought he would be coming out of college as a first-round pick. But he's been fine. You look at Pro Football Focus, they've been very disappointed in him as a blocker. I'd be concerned about that, despite the fact he has the size and the bulk to do it. That would worry me maybe a little bit. Andrew Corliss is a name that's been out there a little bit. So, again, these aren't difference-making tight ends, but they are guys that you can put in there. They can block a little bit and give you some production as well in the receiving game. Pettigrew more a receiver than he is a blocker. So all those news out there, all those pieces of news out there, give us a call. We can talk about it at 201-939-4513, or you can go to Twitter and chime in at #GiantsChat. Let's go to the phones and start out with Derek down in Atlanta. He's first on this Tuesday morning, the first day of free agency. Derek, good morning.
Good morning, John. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, thanks for calling in, Derek. What's up?
Well, I want to talk about the draft philosophy, and looking back in the history, it seems like the Giants don't draft tight ends, linebackers, and I guess they did hit on a lineman last year, but the lineman picks don't seem to get a lot of reps. I mean, what happened to Eric Hermann? We just let go Cordell, and Mosley, I haven't seen much of him.
I can tell you what happened to Eric Hermann last year. He played in the preseason and he was terrible, so they had to put him on the practice squad and he wasn't good enough. Brandon Mosley got put on IR his first year with the team, so he was injured the whole year. And then last year when he came in to start in week 14, he had another injury and he had to finish the last two or three games on the injured list. So those two guys haven't been able to stay healthy.
That could be right, but I think that we have to just go and we have to get a lineman, an O-line guard in the free agency, and we have to get a tight end because I'm not too confident about the Giants picking a tight end in the draft either. I know Eric Ebron's there, but picking a tight end that high with all the needs that we have, I don't know about that either. What do you think about Brandon Pettigrew?
Well, I don't think bringing in a guy like Corliss, or quite frankly, even if you bring in a guy like Pettigrew, I don't know how much money he's going to get. I would not overpay for either one of those guys. I don't think either of those guys would deserve, big-time money at tight end, to be quite honest with you. I don't think they're good enough. But if you want to you know, bring in Quarles and then draft a tight end in the second round like the Nicholas kid out of Notre Dame, I'd be fine with that. I don't think that's out of the question. I can tell you the Giants seriously considered selecting Tyler Eifert in the first round last year. That was one of their three or four guys on the board that they thought about taking in the first round. So don't think that just because they haven't done it, the Giants wouldn't think about or be willing to draft a tight end high in this draft if they believe he could be one of the best players on the board.
Okay, a couple of more things. Moving up and moving down in the draft, the Giants almost never move up in the draft. I think I remember them moving up a couple of years ago on a couple of spots. But,
right.
And that's almost basically something that we're not going to do. Moving back, do you really think the teams in the deep draft like this actually move up with the Giants? Do you think that it's really in their philosophy to move back and make deals on draft day?
Well, I think it would be a mistake to move up only because I think they're going to get a great player at 12. So, no, I don't think they're going to move up. I do think, let's say, for example, the Giants get to 12 and all three of those offensive tackles are off the board. The Giants still believe they need to draft the top offensive lineman. I could see them trading back, you know, to 16, 17, or 18 and picking, say, Zach Martin out of Notre Dame, something like that. A move like that would not shock me. And frankly, it might make sense. You know, what happens if the Giants get to 12? Mike Evans is off the board. The three tackles are gone. Maybe even Eric Ebron's off the board. And you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? None of these guys, to me, really stand out from the big pack of players that are left on the board. If that's the case, trade back five or six guys. You still draft a player of equal talent to who you would have gotten at 12. And you might get an extra third rounder out of it. So I don't think that's out of the question. And there might be a guy there that the Giants don't want at 12, maybe a Johnny Manziel, who knows, it could be anybody, that another team really covets. And in that case, another team might be willing to trade up to the Giants spot to get him. So I think they'll be working the phones and they'll be very open to trading the pick if it makes sense based on who's on the board.
Okay, the last thing is, because I watch the Giants so much, I just notice against the injuries so much. Do you think the Giants have more injuries than the rest of the league, or is it just basically just because I'm watching them?
I think it's just because you're watching them more. A lot of teams have injuries in this league. Now, have the Giants maybe had a little more grouped together at certain positions over the years? Yeah, that might be possible. The Giants have had terrible luck with injuries at cornerback, for example. They've had every camp, you're coming out with six or seven guys, and then by week three, you got two guys left. That seems to happen every year at corner. But for the most part, I mean, the Giants have been fortunate, too. I mean, how much has Eli Manning been hurt over the course of his career? Not really. Victor Cruz has been extremely healthy. So, you know, in spots, yeah, the Giants have had issues with injuries. But in other spots, they've been okay. And look, injuries are just prevalent throughout the league. You know, look at the Dallas Cowboys last year. They used, 21 different defensive linemen over the course of the year because guys kept getting hurt. So injuries get every team. I just think you notice it more because it's the Giants.
Well, thanks. I know you can't comment on this, but I just want to say thanks for taking my call. And I think Tom Quinn really doesn't belong as a Giants special team coach. I don't see how come he kept his job. I mean, I think the Giants special teams is bad every year. And thanks, and I'll let you take
it. All right, Derek, appreciate the call. Look, a couple years ago, the Giants special teams outfit was actually pretty good. And by the way, we'll be joined by Paul Schwartz of the New York Post to get the latest in the news and rumors from him in just a second, and then we'll get back to your phone calls. And by the way, we also are going to have a very special free agency edition of Big Blue Kickoff today at 4 o'clock. At the start of free agency, we'll do a live show, and we'll keep track of all the moves that are going on, and we'll talk some more Giants football at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So in terms of Tom Quinn, and I know people get on him, and he's been a whipping boy for Giant fans over the years. I'll speak to last year specifically. And, you know, we complain about lack of depth, injuries, and how that affects, you know, the offensive line, how the Giants haven't drafted well in the middle rounds. And that's really been a problem for the Giants over the course of the last couple years. But do you know where else depth might affect you? On special teams. Because you know who's playing on special teams? All your backups. So if your backups aren't very good, you know what's going to happen? Your special teams are going to stink up the joint a little bit. And I think that's what really hurt Tom Quinn last year. He didn't really have the horses to have a good special teams. And I know people want to go after him, but, you know, talent does matter in special teams. It's not just coaching. You have to have players to run down there and make plays that are good athletes. It's not just throwing anybody out there. You coach them all, they're going to have great special teams unit. That's not how it works. So I think Tom Quinn's unit's performance was reflected in many ways by the lack of depth on this team and lack of good young players. You know, they lost to Tyler Sash, who was one of the best of special teams players in the team, for example. And you replace him with a guy like Cooper Taylor, who's not quite as experienced. 201-939-4513. Before we get back to your phone calls, I want to bring in Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. He's been tracking Giants free agency over the past couple of days. Things have been going fast and furious. We're going to only keep for a few minutes so we can get back on those phones, Paul. I know you are just locked in on the minute-by-minute and second-by-second negotiations going on all around the league with the New York Giants.
John, when does free agency start?
You know what? I think it's at 4 o'clock today. I'm not sure.
4 o'clock today. I guess I'll crank things up at 4 o'clock. No, it's, you know, the Giants have money to spend, more money than I can remember in several years. And, you know, I would anticipate by the end of today and even earlier than that, they will have spent a decent chunk of that, not all of it. But, you know, the Giants were 7-9 and need help in a lot of areas. And I believe they'll sign 1, 2, maybe 3 players today.
Wow, that would be a busy day for the Giants. And let's start with the money first. By my very rudimentary calculations, I admit, Paul, you figure around $25, maybe $26 million to spend right now in terms of the budget?
I think it's a little less than that. You know, the David Boss they're going to release, and that number is not officially in the books yet. And
okay.
I guess the Chris Snee is not officially in the books yet, but it all will be today. So, yeah, I think it's going to be in the 24 and a half, you know, maybe around 25. Look, I mean, no one knows for sure. It's going to be a decent amount of money. You know, the Giants did a good job whittling away, you know, getting rid of guys and cutting guys who they feel, you know, either can't help them or can't help them at that price. They probably can do a little more with some guys if they have to. But look, they have a lot of needs. They have, what, 26 free agents,
yep.
And they're not going to sign the vast majority of them. But they do have to fill roster spots, and you know that money will go pretty quickly.
And one of the names that are out there is a guy that could theoretically replace Kevin Boss if the Giants announce his release, and that's Evan Dietrich Smith from the Green Bay Packers. Now, he's not going to come cheap, Paul. I imagine his contract is probably going to look a lot like the one David Boss signed a couple years ago, if not a little bit bigger.
Well, you have to pay for that hyphen in his last name, and you know that always adds to the salary. You know, any guys with a hyphenated. I don't know if you have to figure out for inflation. You know, Boss signed that in 2011. Well, you know, I think he will not command as much money as the Saints free agent Brian Della Puente will.
Interesting.
I think he will make more money, but that's just a guess. You know, Evan Dietrich Smith is not exactly a guy who's lit up the NFL offensive lineman.
Right.
He started last year for the first time as a full-time starter. I think he's a good player. I don't think anyone looks at him as a dominant center, but he's young. And, look, it'll be very interesting this offseason to see exactly, you know, what kind of chops Ben McAdoo has within the Giants hierarchy. It's his first year here. He's only been on the job as the offensive coordinator for a few months, but it'll be interesting to see the Packers have a bunch of free agents on offense out there. You know, tight ends in Jermichael Finley and Andrew Quarles. Certainly you mentioned Evan Dietrich Smith.
James Jones,
you know,
and wide receiver.
Wide receiver, yes.
James
Jones, certainly. So, you know, if, you know, Ben McAdoo likes these guys and the Giants like these guys, it could be a real good marriage. And for a guy like Dietrich Smith, he knows what system, you know, McAdoo is likely to put in, and that could be a real attractive thing for the Giants.
And he knows the terminology, can help get the other offensive linemen on the same page. I agree. I think the signing and the target makes a lot of sense on a lot of different levels. You mentioned the tight end position, Paul. Let's jump to there. A lot of names being mentioned, none that would blow any Giant fans away, I'm sure. But there are some interesting guys out there, Quarles more than athlete, Ed Dixon an athlete that projects. But Brandon Pettigrew has had some success in this league, 80 catches back in 2011.
Yeah, no, he has a pedigree. You know, you have to wonder, you know, the Lions had kind of a scattered offense at times, and, you know, was he a product of that? But he's very big. You know, he's the biggest of these guys. He's 265 pounds. He looks like a blocker. You know, the Giants, you know, don't usually employ these kind of, you know, guys, these, you know, 235-pound runners who are more like receivers than they are tight ends. They want tight ends. Now, they do have some big guys, you know, Larry Donnell, Adrian Robinson, still in the fold, young guys who are big guys. So they need a pass catcher right now. Brandon Myers did not work out last year. You know, I could see Ed Dixon because I think he kind of fits that mold. I think Pettigrew will cost the most money. And so, you know, you have to look at it. With all these guys, it's, you know, production versus potential versus cost. And, you know, I don't think the Giants are going to break the bank for anybody, but they are going to have to shell out some money. You know, these guys are going to be projected as starters. And when you're signing guys to start, you got to pay them.
You know, Paul, the shame of it is there was a great pass-catching tight end on the free agent market, but he signed with the Seahawks, Travis Beckham. Hello?
Travis Beckham, yeah. Yeah, well, he was one of those guys. He was like a tweener, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Some guys are blockers and some guys are pass catchers. He was like right in the middle, not really being able to do either one very well. So he was like kind of a tweener in that regard.
No doubt about it. Besides the if the Giants do make that move at center, Paul, how many other offensive linemen do you think they would bring in free agency? And even maybe the number's not so much important, but how many you think projected starters do you think they're going to want to try to add on the free agency market?
Well, they're going to have to add at least two starters. Now, you know, we all have to remember, free agency has to be coupled with the draft.
Right.
Last year, they got an offensive lineman who started from day one in Justin Pugh. Now, you can't assume even, you know, with a high draft pick, you can't assume, oh, they're going to get another one. You know, you don't want to be boxed in a corner. The Giants don't want to be in a position where, with that first-round pick, we have to take an offensive lineman, and he has to start. That is a bad way to go into the draft. You want to sign the best player available at a position of need. I guarantee you the Giants will sign more than one offensive lineman. Will they re-sign Kevin Booth? Possibly they could do that. I don't think they can sign two big-ticket guys.
Right.
But I think they will sign another guy who will play if they sign Dietrich Smith, he's their center. If they sign another, I could see them signing another guy, kind of a mid-level guy who has started in the league before. You know, not a guy like Arthur Jones who's going to command big money, but somebody who's going to, like a Roger Saffold or things like that.
Yeah, Jeff Schwartz, somebody like that, right? Yeah.
Jeff Schwartz, I think he will command big money. He's
right.
Going to come in and start right away.
Exactly.
So they'll sign someone who can play guard, who can play tackle. He will compete for a starting job, and if he doesn't, he'll be a very valuable reserve. Don't forget, they have to replace not only guys like Boss, they have to replace someone like David Deal, who was a starter and a tremendous swing player.
And no one knows how Christine's going to come off that, you know, hip surgery again last year either. So that's something you can't really depend on him, so you want to have a good backup guy there. How do you think, Paul, the Giants view the wide receiver position? Do they feel like they need to add a starter, or do they feel like they just need to add veteran depth to provide a safety net behind Randall and Jernigan?
I think if they don't feel that they need to add a starter, then they're missing the boat.
Okay.
Because, you know, it is a leap of faith. You know, I don't know exactly what they're thinking, but, you know, Jerry Reese has said he likes Reuben Randall. He drafted Reuben Randall, but he's also said Reuben Randall, you know, leaves something to be desired right now. You know, Reuben Randall, there's no way anyone can look at him and say, he is the starter alongside Victor Cruz, and away we go. He is the heir apparent to Hakeem Nicks. You cannot say that. You can say he's a part of the plan. He's done some good things. He led the team in touchdowns last year. But he kind of was, you know, up and down. And, you know, I don't, you know, his level of intensity, I think, needs to increase. Maybe if you put him in a starting role, he will naturally do that. But, you know, he was in a big role. He was the third receiver. He was on the field, you know, more than half the time. They need to add a receiver. There's no doubt about it. And you know, I don't think you can rely on that in the draft because historically, looking at what the Giants have done in the draft early with receivers, they do not get on the field early and often not at all in the first season. So you cannot just say, we're going to draft a receiver in the second or third round. He's going to play a lot. So they're going to have to add someone. You know, I don't know what the money's going to be like. I'd probably be pretty good. I think Golden Tate is a guy. He's not big, but, you know, you can't look at his numbers with Seattle. Seattle doesn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
You know, his numbers, you put him on an offense, you put him on the Colts, he would have had 70, 80 catches. I think he is a guy who was on the cusp as an ascending player who was young. I think he would be a terrific player for the Giants. He's not big, but I think he would be a terrific player. You match him, he can play in the slot. Cruz can go outside. Cruz goes in the slot. He can play outside, but he'll probably cost too much, but I think he'd be tremendous.
Yeah, and Tate, more of a, you know, he's not big like you said, but he is a physical wide receiver, kind of the same way Akeem Nicks used to fight and win balls. You know, he kind of does that same type of thing. Real quickly, last offensive position, Paul, before we jump to defense very quickly, we're joined by Paul Schwartz in the New York Post. Running back. I guess the good news for the Giants at this position is that the market seems to be pretty down for running backs, so they might be able to bring in a starter here without having to spend all that much money.
And I would be surprised if that is the first, you know, the first foray, because historically running backs just sit out there, don't
right.
they? You know, they just sit out there now, and you wait for them, and you see what the market is, and you know, look, Ben Tate is a guy, you know, if he signs with the Giants, he's the starter on opening day, unless David Wilson comes back and proves that he's 100%. You know, he's the starter, Ben Tate, if he comes back. And so he's going to have to be paid like that. So I don't know if you want to just jump and pay that guy a lot of money. You know, it seems to me the Giants did something out of the ordinary when they drafted David Wilson so high. And he did not pan out. He did not look great. He's a great athlete and very exciting, but he did not look like a great running back in his time, and now he's got this neck issue,
yep.
Which, you know, is really touch and go whether he's going to be able to play at all or at any kind of effective level. So, you know, Darren Sproles is more of a guy you plug in, you know, and he's older. I don't know if you go in that direction. It's not an overwhelmingly great running back market, but, you know, Ben Tate is the guy. You know, and another guy I think we have to look at is James Starks. Because he is a guy you probably can get more cheaply, and he, you know, ran, you know, the ball with Ben McAdoo with the Packers. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what this Packer connection is with McAdoo and the Giants now, because there's a lot of guys out there who they potentially could bring in.
Rashad Jennings, another guy from Oakland that could be a projected starter as well. Quickly on defense, Paul, Tuck and Beeson, which, either, both, neither, do they come back, and when? Obviously, Beeson did not like whatever offered the Giants put on the table before free agency started. He's going to test the market. How do you see things going down with those two players?
Which is either both niner, neither. That was like a Dr. Seuss. That
yeah, exactly. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I like that. I like that. Well, you know, that's a tough one. You know, I think this Beeson stuff is a little bit alarming. You know, I would have anticipated he would have signed a deal. You know, he doesn't have an agent. He's representing himself, and I think that's going to get in the way
it's
of something
dangerous.
Quick.
It's dangerous, no question.
It's you save money on the commission. You know, you save the 3%, but you know, you better. You know, it's just, you know, he's not a real experienced guy. He hasn't been around much. This is his first time in free agency, so I think he's rolling the dice a little bit. I think he's a sharp guy. He wants to come back. He was made for New York. He loved playing in New York. They certainly need him. You know, they're not going to get a better middle linebacker than him, you know, in free agency. So, you know, maybe the Giants tried to, you know, get him on the cheap, figuring he wants to come back, and, you know, we'll get him before he hits free agency. You know, it'll be interesting. You know, he's now got to book his own deals and book his own trips and, you know, talk to teams. He doesn't have experience in this. I think it's a little alarming that they didn't get this done ahead of time. Maybe he's a guy he kind of goes through and sees what the market is and then comes back to the Giants. I could see that happening. As far as Tuck, I would say my gut feeling is he'll be back with the Giants, but it's not a ringing endorsement. You know, I would say it's like a 55-45 feeling in my mind now.
Wow.
Because someone is going to look at him. You know, he's not going to get huge money, but someone's going to look at him and possibly pay him slightly more than the Giants will pay him, and then it's a matter of does he give a hometown discount, because he had a good season last year. I guess he can prove that he's healthy, and you can say he is a guy with championship pedigree who can join our line. He can play tackle. He can play end. And, you know, we can plug him in for 2 or 3 years, hopefully. And, you know, he'll be a great influence. He's a great guy. So I think there'll be a market for him, not a monster market, but there'll be enough teams, I think, interested in him in the right price. And, you know, then it's a matter of, you know, is he going to want to come back to the Giants maybe for slightly less?
Obviously, if Beeson doesn't come back, Paul, linebacker becomes a very big need. If Beeson does come back, do the Giants worry about adding a strong side linebacker to play alongside either Jaquan Williams and Paysinger and Beeson, or do they kind of just figure things out as they go along, considering they love running that three safety package and you're in nickel most of the time anyway?
Well, it's true, but you know, they did re-sign Mark Herzlick, which was, you know, a bit of a surprise to me that they wanted to, you know, secure him. But you know, it's a 1 year deal for not a lot of money, so that's not, you know, a major expenditure there. You know, they have talked to Jamel McLean from the Ravens, and he's a guy who could start at strong side linebacker. As you said, it's not a guy who's on the field a lot of the time, but there's not a lot sitting back there. You know, there isn't. They've tendered Spencer Paysinger. You know, he's a guy who's done some things, but you know, I don't think they're going to spend a lot. I think Beeson's going to be the guy they spend the money for, and then they will, you know, if McLean wants to come in for a nice, you know, reasonable 3 year deal, I think they'll do that. And then, you know, you kind of mix and match with what you have. You probably draft a guy in the mid-rounds, and he's a special teamer and a guy who maybe can play a little bit. You know, not a high-profile position, but as
right.
The Giants showed last year, without Beeson, they couldn't stop the run. With Beeson, they could stop the run. And you know, that is a key to their season. They signed defensive tackles who played well against the run, and they brought in a linebacker who could play well against the run. You know, John Beeson really has to come back. You know, I mean, they have to ante up some money here to get this guy back. Not at a crazy price, but, you know, they have to pay to get this guy back because he was a really good player for them.
Paul, I agree. And then if you lose Beeson and Joseph, your biggest strength last year stopping the run could theoretically be brought back down to zero, and you got to build that all from scratch again, which could be very, very dangerous. The only other position I want to ask you about on defense is corner, because that seems to be, to me, the other position really of need. Do the Giants view it as though they still need to go out there and either draft or sign in free agency a starting level cornerback? Or do they believe that, you know, Tremaine McBride can chip in there, that Jaron Holsey, a third round pick, can finally develop? How desperate are they to bring in a starting cornerback one way or the other?
You know, the way we talk, it sounds like the Giants were 4-12. But you know what? They were 0-6 at one point.
They were.
And they had a lot of problems. And no, they cannot go. You know, they're going to re-sign Tremaine McBride, you know, on a two-year deal, you know, not a lot of money. You know, they have Prince Omukamara, who they feel is an ascending player. You know, hopefully one day they feel a potential pro bowler. You know, he was a good player last year, but he wasn't a big playmaker. You know, he was a good, solid, you know, tough cornerback.
Only one pick.
Right. Is he a franchise cornerback? I don't think so right now. They need a cornerback. Now, you know, are they going to trade for Darrelle Revis? I don't think so. But, you know, they can't be paying, you know, $15, $16, $14 million for these cornerbacks. But they're going to have to get somebody because they're not good enough right there right now. You know, last year Corey Webster took a pay cut and, you know, took a performance cut. He just wasn't on the field. They signed Aaron Ross for depth. You know, he did okay and then he got hurt. You cannot, you know, it's pitching. You cannot have enough cornerbacks. The Giants showed that last year. You know, Hosley was supposed to take a big step forward last year. Did he? No. McBride was a nice player. McBride is 5'9" or 5'10". You know, he's limited in what he can do. Prince is the only guy back who's proven. Are they going to re-sign Terrell Thomas? Possibly. He's a guy coming off two ACLs who got through the season last year. I don't think the Giants are looking at him as a guy who you can sign and put in the starting lineup. So it's a great position of need, a tremendous position of need. I could see the Giants using their first-round pick on a cornerback. So, yes, it's a position of need, and I just don't know the Giants have the money to pay someone, you know, who can go in and start right away.
All right, Paul, final question for Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Do you see either Eli Manning or Antoine Roll getting extended combination restructure of their contract at some point this offseason to free up more money in free agency, or do you see those guys heading into next year on their current deals?
Well, Roll is going into the last year of his contract. I think he's due $7 million, so that's a big ticket to you know, for the Giants to you know, to take in the salary cap. I could see them doing something with Roll. You know, he's healthy. He's their best defensive player right now. He's a Giant through and through. I could see, you know, he's not a young guy anymore, so you have to be careful with that. And you know, Eli's a tough one. He really is. He's 33.
I agree.
And he's got years left on his contract. He's coming off a dreadful season. You know, do you want to, you know, extend him for another 3-4 years and, you know, into when he's 36, 37, 38? You know, just because his brother can do it doesn't mean he can do it. And so, you know, I think Eli is tricky. I think if they can do something with Eli very short term, they can just kind of move some money around and free up some money, you can do that. But you know, I wouldn't be in favor of just, you know, carte blanche saying, yeah, Eli's our quarterback for another 5 years and let's just do it. You know, I wouldn't do it because, you know, you don't want to be in a position where, you know, you have a guy hanging out there who's on the decline at that position and you're kind of married to him when you don't want to be. Everyone loves Eli, but nothing lasts forever.
Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, we appreciate it. This interview will not last forever either. Paul, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your day. It should be nice and peaceful and calm.
Thanks, John. Take care.
All right, Paul. Appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime. Yep.
Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. We love him. He does a great job. Keep track of him on Twitter, online, on all that stuff, and keep track of everything New York Giants in free agency. You guys have been holding patiently. I thank you. I'll get right to you on the phones at 201-939-4513. And, you know, it always makes me feel better when all the stuff I've been saying here, you get these other guys on, they say the exact same thing. It's like, all right, I'm not crazy. Makes you feel better about yourself. Let's go to Gedalia in New Jersey. Gedalia, thank you for holding, buddy. What's going on?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
I want you to talk about a little bit of the defensive line, about maybe Tuck going. What would happen if Tuck goes, let's say, and since he's the captain, what do the Giants do, let's say, if he doesn't sign?
if they don't bring back Justin Tuck, I think the Giants would have to bring in a mid-level defensive end, their defensive lineman, to try to give them a little bit more depth, because I really don't expect Linval Joseph to be back. I don't expect Justin Tuck to be, I mean, if Justin Tuck doesn't then come back, I think you have a fairly sizable hole on your defensive line. You have two of your starters from last year that would be gone. You got a third starter in Jason Pierre-Paul. You don't know how healthy he's going to be. And all you're left is with Colin Jenkins. So I think you would have to bring in somebody else at defensive end, which is why I think at the end of the day, Justin Tuck will be back, because the Giants realize that if they lose him, they're going to have to replace him. So why not just bring back the guy you know?
Right, and also the fact that he's captain makes it a little bit better to have him as, like, the coordinator of the defense. What do you say about anything more about the defense that maybe the Giants have to fix up?
I mean, I think cornerback is the big thing that they need to fix still, and I think Paul Schwartz talked about it on that last block there. If they think they can go into next year with, you know, Hosley, McBride, and Charles James as your second, third, and fourth cornerbacks, I think they're going to be in trouble. And the Giants need to go out there and find the cornerback that's capable of starting across from Prince Amukamara. And I'm with Paul. I think you might be stuck trying to find a corner in the draft, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that because, you know, I mean, Sam Shields got $10 million a year. $10 million a year for Sam Shields. I mean, he's not that good. So the corner market's always more inflated because it's a passing league now, and you got to defend against these great receivers and quarterbacks. So the Giants are going to have to figure out a way underneath their salary cap to fit in a starting caliber corner. They're going to have to figure out a way to do it.
I just have one more point to make. What do you think about Akiem Nicks coming back?
Nope. I don't believe Akiem Nicks will be back. I think there'll be a team out there that offers him a big enough long-term contract that the Giants will not match. And quite frankly, even if it's a fairly reasonable contract, I'm not sure the Giants can afford to match it because they need to spend this money elsewhere. They really do.
And who would take him over, let's say?
I think Ruben Randall will be given every opportunity to win the job, but I also believe the Giants will bring in a veteran stopgap to fill that role in case Randall and Jernigan can't do it, just like Paul said. And I got into it with somebody on Twitter about this the other day. To me, the perfect guy to do this would be James Jones, who knows McAdoo's system from the Packers. He's not a number one. To me, he's somewhere between a number three and a number two. You wouldn't have to break the bank on him, and I think he'd be a good fit in that spot across from Cruz.
Right. All right, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Gadali. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Matt in East Islip next. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
What's up?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, free agency and stuff like that, just like everyone else. I was thinking for the tight end position, like we were talking about, you guys were talking about a little earlier. I think that the Giants, I listened to the show yesterday, and you said, you know, they need to address as many needs as possible in free agency, which I think is definitely the top priority, so you don't start mix-matching guys at the draft. And I don't think Ebron is... Not that he's not a good fit. I just think that they need to go elsewhere in the draft before. And I think that they could go, like you said, get Troy Nicholas. Or I really like Paul Dottino's guy, Arthur Lynch from Georgia. Saw him play live. I think he'd be a good fit.
I'm not sure how well Lynch would be able to step in and do it right away, though. I think he might be I think he'd be more of a developmental guy, especially in the passing game.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's why you would bring in a guy like even like a Qualis or, you know, a lower veteran salary guy to kind of, you know, be that, like you say, stopgap, almost like you would a wide receiver. And then just something quick on the offensive line and the cornerback position. Offensive line-wise, I could totally see the Giants. I saw Art Stapleton just tweeted the Giants are Jeff Schwartz. He's the top three teams listed. I could see him coming in. What about a guy like Zane Beatles? I think Zane Beatles is a really good player for Denver, and I know he played a little tackle in college, too.
You know, I think Beatles is probably going to get a little bit too much money, but I think he's a good player, and if you can get him in a reasonable number, I'd be fine with having Zane Beatles be a starting guard for me, though I believe, in my opinion, Jeff Schwartz is a better player.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, Dietrich Smith, I would say, is probably more than likely to be there at center for them. I would say that's, I mean, definitely a top priority. And then just real quick, a cornerback. If they don't go Justin Gilbert in the draft, which I think they should do, what about a guy like Walter Thurman? Had a good year, I thought, with Seattle. Again, I don't think he'd be like a top guy. But do you think he'd be asking for too much money? Because I think he'd be a good fit for them.
I don't think Thurman's going to break the bank, to be honest with you. He's not a top-notch corner. I worry about it. I know a lot of people have asked me about Brandon Browner on Twitter, too. I worry about those Seattle corners. I just think their defense as a unit is so good. I think in a lot of ways Seattle is the sum of the parts is better than the individual players. They don't play. Remember this. The Seahawks do not play a ton of man-to-man. They probably go 50-50 cover three, 50-50 man-to-man. So, you know, I'm not sure if it really fits what the Giants do here. And, again, I think it has a lot to do with that defense as a whole, as it does the individual player. I'll leave it this way. I wouldn't sit there and hand Walter Thurman a starting job and say, all right, here's $7 million a year. You're my starting corner. I don't think he's that type of player. I think he's more in that, you know, third corner, you know, play the slot a little bit type of role.
Right, yeah, definitely. Like you said the other day about Brandon Browner.
Exactly.
You know, if he comes back after a four-game suspension, he's not really going to be the big of a difference maker on Seattle. He wasn't missed that much, you know, so I think that would be a big part to help them, though. So thanks for taking my call, John. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate it, Matt, anytime. But 201-939-4513. Owen's up in Yonkers. Owen, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, John? How's everything, man?
Everything's well, Owen. How about yourself?
Good. All right. I work. First and foremost, I want to start off and close the show yesterday. Absolutely hilarious. Had me dying laughing with the Phil Jackson comment.
It's still alive. I'm just waiting for the Lakers to announce they've signed Phil Jackson to be their president. I'm just waiting for it to happen. As a Knicks fan, you just get used to the carpet being pulled out from underneath you so many times that I feel like Phil is just sitting there waiting to get a call from the buses and be like, now we want you back here. Then he's going to go there in a second.
I know exactly what you mean, man. we get a hope build up and then just bang, right out from under us.
It's painful, I know.
But keep the hope alive. Hopefully we do get him. You know, this is a nice little streak we're on. But back to football now, you know. I'm seeing a lot of cuts, a lot of things happening. First question I want to say, and I'm not one to jump on the, you know, these high price and big name guys, but Revis doesn't seem to be intriguing. You know, not necessarily for a trade, but if they cut him, you know, I don't know how that works as far as his contract. You know, would we still have to honor that $16 million, or
no? You would not. You would not have to honor the $16 million. He would go out there and sign a brand new contract. See, to me, if I and this is why I don't get it. If I was a team out there, I would offer a low-round pick for Darrelle Revis. Do you know why? If you go out there, if he hits free agency, you're going to have to guarantee him, whatever type of contract you give him, you're probably going to have to guarantee him upwards of $20 million in that contract, right? And I realize his base salary on that current deal is very high at $16 million. I know it's exorbitant, and it's tough to pay a guy like that, but there's no guaranteed money on the deal. So if he has a bad year and you see his play deteriorating, you can cut him with no dead money on the cap. And to me, that's a valuable option a team can have. So I'm honestly surprised the Bucks haven't been able to find the taker for that deal, because to me, whoever signs Revis, look, if Sam Shields is getting $10 million, how much is Revis going to get? $15 a year? $16 a year? I mean, he's a much better player than Sam Shields is. So I'm honestly surprised the Bucks haven't been able to find the taker for at least a third or a fourth or a fifth-round pick for him. I'm surprised by it.
Very. You know, I was looking at it as, you know, he played a year now coming off the ACL surgery. So this is probably his year to really, really get back to Revis' form and, you know, set back up on Revis Island and really lock dudes up.
Well, and quite frankly, last year, if you look at Pro Football Focus, Revis had almost just as good a numbers as Richard Sherman did in their ratings. So, you know, I realize he wasn't, you know, he didn't get a lot of attention last year because he was on the crappy Bucks. Revis still had a pretty darn good season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's, I'm not going to say that's the only way, but I wouldn't feel so bad about keeping McBride, you know, keeping James and re-signing Hosley. Granted that they're undersized, if we had another guy like Revis, or even the guy that we were talking about in with the Titans, with Werner, you know, I wouldn't mind, because I know those guys are going to hold down, you know, Prince and him across from each other. I mean, I don't think there'd be much passing on the Giants at all.
I hear you.
Next play, as far as Eli, you know, I wouldn't mind extending him another 2 years. You know, I think he still has a lot in the tank. You know, as a fan, you know, I hear the callers call in, it's time to get rid of Eli or on Eli. You know, I don't really get mad at Eli. Sometimes I just like to see some fire in him. You know, I want to see him, you know, grab his face mask and yelling at some dudes sometimes. Just show some type of emotion, you know. The blank stares on the sidelines get to be very aggravating at times.
No, look, it can be. I understand. I mean, it can get on your nerves. I see it. But, look, the Giants have a lot of needs, and they have to choose where to use their resources, and they'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, and I think they'll figure something out sooner than later. Aside from Herzlick, has anybody else been re-signed in the last couple of days?
The Giants have not announced anything. There's rumors that McBride's on his way back, that Josh Brown's on his way back. The Giants haven't even announced the restructuring of the contracts or David Boss's release. So they haven't announced anything yet. Those are just reports that are out there. I imagine we'll probably hear something about some, if not all, of those by the end of the day. That would be my guess.
Great, great. All right. Well, good conversation earlier with the phone on the line. That was great. That's about it for me. So
thanks,
far,
Owen.
Stay flat.
Have a good one, man. 201-939-4513. I got a Golden Tate debate going on Twitter right now. You know, I think Tate's a good receiver. I don't think he's a great wide receiver. I don't think he's a Pro Bowl wide receiver. I mean, could he improve to the point where he could get there? Maybe. But to me, Tate's a guy because of his age. It's his first contract off of being drafted. He's a guy that's probably going to get overpaid a little bit. The same way I think Alteron Verner's a guy that's probably going to get overpaid a little bit. And there's a reason for it. These guys are, you know, 26, 27 years old. They're in their prime, if not a year before their prime. So there isn't quite as much of a risk of getting the downside of their career. That's why those guys get that type of money. That's why Anshar Roll got the money the Giants gave him a few years ago. Because even at the end of the deal, he's still in his prime. As someone said, if they don't extend Roll on Twitter, this is from @JRockProd, does that mean this is his last year with the Giants? Not necessarily. I think if Roll is a really good year this year, you could bring him back next year when he becomes a free agent. Though, would I be shocked if they extended him? No, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm with Paul Schwartz. And I know my man Stephen DC is, and I know Stu DeMegley online is with him, that maybe this isn't quite the time to extend Eli, and it's tricky. Because you figure he's going to want a 4 to 5 year extension, and do you lock him up till he's 39 or 40 when there's a chance he's in decline? I'm not sure. 201-939-4513. Tom is in New York. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, John.
How are you, Tom?
I'm doing pretty well. I just wanted to call in. It's actually more in comments to some things that have been talked about the last few days. I've been listening a lot. I think Jerry Reese in free agency has done a pretty good job, and I know that we talked about this yesterday. I did want to bring up something that I don't think I've heard anybody else bring up. Jerry Reese has gone pretty slow and methodical this year, and that's been kind of upsetting some people, which I understand, but I think he's doing it because he kind of burned himself last year when he went out and re-signed Beattie early. I think he overpaid a little bit for Beattie, especially given the performance. Because he didn't necessarily understand the market value yet. And a lot of the moves that the Giants have made or have been rumored to make have been after this legal tampering period started, where he could really kind of size up the market for some of these guys. So that way he's at least, you know, looking into other options, and that's why they're making their moves now. So I think when the dust settles, you can really applaud Jerry Reese for that. And I just kind of wanted to bring up that point. I wanted to bring it up earlier, but now it seems a little bit more obvious. And then with the draft history, I was looking at our draft history, and since really 2007, 2008, the Giants really haven't gotten a lot of production out of their mid-round picks at all.
Hey, look, and to me, if you want to pick out one thing, Tom, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I could not agree with you more. If you want to pick one thing that's the reason for this team's deterioration last year and their inability to recover when some of their older players either retired or got hurt, is that they were not able to develop a lot of their mid-round picks, and I'm talking about third, fourth, fifth, and sixth rounders, to the point where they were ready to step in and do a good job when these older players either got hurt or moved on. And that, to me, more than anything else, is the reason why the Giants started the decline last year.
I absolutely agree, because when you look at their draft picks for the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, the only ones that really stick out are, like, Linval. The jury's still out on Ruben Randall. But Linval looks like he's on his way out this year, and you know, you don't really have too many people that made that big of an impact in the lower picks, and even the first-round picks. I mean, you've had some potential with JPP and Knicks, but, you know, Kenny Phillips got hurt. He's no longer with the team. Prince is progressing, but he is not, you know, a dominant Pro Bowl player yet. So even the first-round picks haven't really panned out, more due to injury than anything else. But, you know, the Giants just haven't, you know, between luck and swinging and missing on some mid-round picks, haven't really hit the draft. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of our big contracts are now with aging veterans who are past their prime, and Boss and Snee and even, you know, maybe Kiwanuka. So that's something that to keep in mind. And I guess the last point I wanted to bring up was a lot of people are bringing up Ebron, and some are high on him and some aren't. But I think what you have to look at is he's willing to block, and I think he can become a good blocker.
Tom, I'm with you.
Being a great receiver, and I think at number 12, if he's there, he'll be a great fit, because he'll not only improve the offense on his own, but he's going to make what we have already better. Victor Cruz is going to be better because he's going to draw so much attention in the middle, and that's only going to help Victor Cruz's game, especially if he's going to be like a Randall Cobb-type guy in Ben McAdoo's system. You know, it's going to improve our offense and what we already have. So that you really have to take into account. I think Ebron would be a great pick that will stick around and be a dominant guy for, you know, 10 years.
Yeah, Tom, and that's what got me excited about Ebron. He didn't come out of the draft and say, I want to be the next Jimmy Graham. He didn't say, I want to be the next Tony Gonzalez. He said, I want to be the next Vernon Davis. And Vernon Davis is not just a receiver. He's also a blocker. And he wants to block. He's willing to block. He is the body to be, I think, to be an effective blocker in the NFL. And to me, if he's there at 12 and the Giants did not find the starting caliber tight end in free agency, I don't see why not. I don't see why Ebron would not be on the radar there at number 12. To me, he has all the tools to be an excellent two-way tight end for 10 to 12 years in this league. You can plug him in. You can leave him there and let him go.
Yep, and you're not going to find anyone, you know, near his talent level in free agency this year. And so, I mean, you're not going to be able to do what you can with him in free agency. Corner, I can see it, but I don't see Justin Gilbert lasting to number 12. And, you know, some people think Denard might not even last till 12. So, especially if those guys are gone, you know, if Ebron is there, take him. If Ebron and Gilbert and Evans are gone, I'm not so sure the Giants are going to be willing to jump in the offensive tackles. You know, it might be worth trading back and seeing what you can get a little later on. But, you know, if Ebron or Gilbert or Denard are there, I think you take them. But, you know, Ebron, I think, is just such a great fit for our offense.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
Yep.
Appreciate it, bud. And, look, I think you look at a corner there, if Gilbert or Denard are there, I think you look at them. In terms of the tackle position, I think moving back in this draft is certainly an option. The Giants have a ton of holes. The more picks you have to try to fill those holes, to me, the better off you are. It sounds simple, but sometimes things are simple. You trade back, you stockpile picks, you use them to fill all the holes that you got. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Rolando in Fresh Meadows. Rolando, welcome back.
Hey, Big Johnny. How you doing, bro?
Doing all right, Rolando. What's going on?
Okay. I'm thinking in terms of, okay, we have salary restraints, so we have to be smart how we spend our money. And I just think, in throwing it out there, where is he? The defensive tackle, Arthur Jones, from the Baltimore Ravens, where he can play tackle and end, and it can give you that versatility on your defensive line that can get the rush and help out our secondary. I don't know if you heard this. I read it yesterday that through the grapevine, they're saying that we signed one of the centers, Bryant from New Orleans or Evans from Green Bay, and We signed Justin Tuck to a one-year contract. Can you confirm that or anything, or is that going to come out at 4 o'clock?
I have not heard anything about Justin Tuck signing a one-year contract. That would be news to me. I haven't heard anything about it. I mean, most of the stuff going on about Giants Twitter right now, and Connor Orr had it, Art Stapleton had it, now everybody else is kind of reporting it as well, is that the Giants are heavy in on both Jeff Schwartz and Evan Dietrich Smith, which apparently people are listening to our show in the morning because those are two names we've been talking about since January.
Right, right. How would you feel if we sign Henry Milton, the defensive tackle from Chicago, who's coming off an injury, like a one-year deal, you know, prove-it kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how much money Melton's going to get. Henry Melton, to me, kind of plays the same position, though, that Colin Jenkins does, so I think you're almost repeating that skill set. Okay. They're both kind of three-technique defensive tackles.
No, bro. Then we can take Jenkins, and if we can't get a Tuck back, now we could put Jenkins at the end, and we can have a decent pass rush. I think this is what Reese does really well. He can project, and free agency is his thing. Now, drafting, if the owners are taking and rolling the dice in terms of taking a chance, we're going to have to stop that. Because seeing what we have and considering Corey Webster, Aaron Ross, the wide receiver, the big kid that he left, Travis, the three number
Ramsey's Barden, you're talking about?
Yeah, Ramsey and Barden.
And Travis Beckham.
Right, and then you throw in Petras. They go, bro, those are all the draft picks. I don't even want to say Clint Sitton, a number two draft pick. You know, we got to do a better job. What you said, bro. I'm jumping on board what you said. We got to do a better job on that. And on Jackson, bro, I don't see him as well as a GM as they give him credit. He's a great coach, but what is his credentials as a front man, an office guy? You know, he don't have any. It's not like he came in through an internship and then he has experience and he made connections. This is all new. This is going to be his resume for his next job, not on this job. So that there, to me, is like, you know, it's just a name, another big splash, just like, you know, the Mets when they want to talk about all these potential guys that they're going to sign. They don't sign nobody just to get the press. Okay, Johnny, let me let you go. I know you're probably busy.
All right, Rolando, appreciate it.
I'll be talking to you soon. Take care, bro.
All right, Ro, appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. And I don't think the Giants are, you know, throwing out smoke screens where they're like, oh, to keep the press off us, we're reporting, we're going to leak that we're talking to this guy and talking to this guy if they're not serious about it. That's not generally the way the Giants operate. So, if there's news out there that the Giants are interested in guys and going after them, it probably means that they're interested in going after them. So that's how I look at it. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phones and say what's up to Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, buddy?
How are you? What's going on?
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited because I just heard you say the report about Schwartz and Smith.
Now, again, not they're on the verge of signing right, or anything like that, but the Giants are apparently right, going after both of them pretty heavily, which, you know, frankly, based on you guys have heard me say it all offseason long, those would be two of the guys I target. So I'd be very happy with
yep,
that.
I'll be very, very happy with that. That is just like we do have a voice and they do hear us. Not that we make a decision, but you know what I mean? Can we have a voice? Can y'all listen to us somewhat? You know what I mean? Like, come on. So that's very good because if you bring in both of those guys, that's a direct hit on both areas of need, both. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. All right. I wanted to say this, though, because everybody was saying Altamont Burner, you know what I mean, signing him maybe. And I don't agree with that. I mean, because, okay, like you said, Shields made $10 million. He got $10 million per. So what Burner going to get? He's going to get about, what, 12, 13, right? He's a little bit better than Shields.
Burner will probably get $10-plus million a year. I agree with that.
Right. Okay. So then what's the difference in a little more mil and going to get Revis?
you know, getting the best corner in the game, arguably. You know what I mean? So I don't agree with bringing in a free agent cornerback. I think we got to draft one, and a really good one. I mean, we got to have a direct hit on whoever we draft in that corner spot, because I don't think we should sign one, because that's going to take a big chunk of what we have, a big chunk.
The corner's expensive, and Shakes, we talked about it. Corners come at a premium, so I don't think you can go out there and pay for two top offensive linemen and then go out there and pay for a top corner, too. If you go out there and you pay a combined $12 million, you know, per year on Smith and on Jeff Schwartz, for example, I think you're done in terms of big-ticket items. I don't think you can afford anything else unless you decide to extend, roll, or restructure Eli.
You think it'll be 12, though? Because
combined, I could see Evan Dietrich Smith around 6. I could see Schwartz probably around 4 or 5 a year.
Woo! Well, hey, we need it.
Hey, you do.
We got paid. Hey, that's the price of a mission. I think that we should extend Eli, though. I really do, because I think that he's a player that you want to retire a Giant. He's in the Michael Strahan-ish. He's in the, you know what I mean? And actually, I wanted Allstead to retire with us, but then they had that whole draft thing where, who was it, Houston that was coming in the league or something?
Yeah, I forget
I think it was Carolina and Jacksonville. They was coming in the league, and Allstead had to go up in the draft. I was mad about that. That was a hard time as a Giant fan. But I wanted to retire as a Giant, and that's how I feel about Eli. Like, he's one of those guys that just has to retire as a Giant. So why not just extend him and just let him end his career? Even in his last 2 years of his contract, if we extend him a 5-year, whatever deal, last 2 years of his contract, if he in decline, wouldn't we just draft a quarterback and let Eli mentor him? You know what I mean? Like, and of course Eli will be structured then, you know? So that's how I feel.
All right, Shakes, appreciate the call, dude.
All right, man. Thank you.
And more reports, no problem. And more reports coming out that Peyton Hillis is going to be signed to a 2-year deal worth about $2 million is what Connor Orr is reporting. At Giants, Gab is quite thrilled. He's been pushing Hillis to me on Twitter since free agency began, heck, since the offseason began. And you're right on that one. You guys got it. I can admit when I'm wrong, guys. That's fine. Happens often enough. But it looks like Hill is back in the fold. The Giants must like him as a veteran presence and a guy that can provide some safety for the guys that are here. So looks like Peyton Hillis, if reports are correct, will be back with the G-men next year. And by the way, I just realized something, and I don't know how it happened. NYG Cap Central. I was always wondering why he wasn't tweeting during the show anymore. Because, you know, he used to give out great information on the cap. I used to tell everybody to look at his Twitter feed. It just came up in my Who to Follow column. He was blocked on my Twitter account for some reason. I have no idea how that happened. So, NYG Cap Central, if you're out there, I apologize for blocking you. It was not on purpose. You're an excellent tweeter. I got great information out of him. I don't know what happened. I'm going to blame Lance Meadow for this one. How about that? I think he sabotaged me. 201-939-4513. Let's stick on our phone lines and go to Mike in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Where the heck is Deerfield Beach, Mike?
Oh, Deerfield, home of Jippy Face.
Oh, very nice.
Jippy Pimpoa.
Is that
that's my cousin.
Oh, cousin.
That's my cousin, yes. Yes, we're related, yeah.
Is that the west coast or east coast of Florida?
Well, that's the east coast of Florida.
Got it.
So it's like it's about 20 miles north of Miami. About 20-25 miles north of Miami.
What do you got this morning, Mike?
I'm trying to find out, see what we're going to do. I'm anxious right now. I want to know what's going on, what we want to do. So I'm excited. I'm an old-time Giant, so it just happened that Jason, got drafted by New York, so. And I'm excited. So, you know, and I'm trying to find out, see what we're going to do. I want to know, I want you to tell me, let me know what's going on. Are we picking up anybody right now? Or what's the 411? Let me know.
Well, right now you can't sign anybody officially, at least from other teams, up until 4 o'clock. It looks like that, you know, from reports, Payne Hillis, Josh Brown, Tremaine McBride back in the mix. And if what all the beat writers are reporting, the Connor Orr's, Vacchiano, Schwartz, Tom Rock, Art Stapleton, all those guys, it looks like the Giants are heavily involved in both Evan Dietrich Smith and Jeff Schwartz. Both guys would be great additions to the team. They're very, very good offensive linemen.
That's great. I'm excited. I mean, I spoke to Jason last week, and he's making some real good progress. So, I mean, like, he lost some weight. I saw him lose some weight, and he looked good. So,
How's the shoulder and back?
It's doing good. Doing good. Well. I mean, he does everything right. So, he's, you know, he started lifting weight now. He's doing his thing. So, let's just wait. This year we're going to have a great year. JPP going to have a great year. He's back. I believe so. He's back.
All right. In a little inside information there, Mike. Appreciate the call, bud.
All right. No problem.
Have
a good one. Have a nice
201-939-4513. Have a nice day, too, Mike. Appreciate the call. We've heard from Mike before back in the day. I remember that. That's when he started calling up. He gave us some Haitian, actually, last time he called up. A little Creole, which is always fun. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Frank down in Tampa. We're going to stick in the great state of Florida, the land of no income tax. Frank, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, John. Enjoying the show. That was great having Paulie Black on there.
Yeah, morning. I love Paul. Paul's fantastic.
But I have a question. I read another of a number of articles that I continue to see about Beatty, and, you know, he does seem to be such an integral part of what's going to happen next year, and it's also such a huge question mark. But if you can indulge me for a minute, after reading that article, I said, okay, I just have to try to figure something out. And, you know, as we were talking here, as I was listening, I was just kind of making a list here of things that could, you know, contribute to an offensive lineman's downfall. And, you know, just a few things that I came up with, you know, age, no. In this case, you know, injury or illness, no. Weight gain or something, no. You know, personal or family, we don't know anything about that, but I'd say no. A new scheme, which would be no. Or a quarterback change, no. Drug abuse or PEDs, nothing that we, you know, about. And
who are you talking about, Frank?
Beatty.
Oh, okay.
Beatty, contributing to what happened to him, you know. So, you know, I've got contract status. If you feel disrespected or you lay down afterwards, you know, that's, you know, the one possibility I could come up with. Also, you know, running back, you know, who's running behind you, or the team, you know, being constantly in, you know, as to pass protection, constantly being in a position where it's obvious that they're going to have to throw, which would affect, you know, your pass blocking potentially. But and then, you know, coaching, and the biggest one, I guess, would be effort. But so what I don't understand, I'm not a football coach, never been except on a youth level. Can you explain to me, when it comes to an offensive lineman, if you go through all those things and there's no red flag, what does a bad year mean? I mean, if it was fixable, why wouldn't it have been done in 16 weeks? I could see it, you know, a couple of bad games or something. But if it's none of those things, in terms of an offensive lineman's production, what exactly does a bad year mean? I can't get my arms around that.
If I had a good answer for you, Frank, I'd be sitting in that offensive line room coaching these guys up, making a lot more money than you are. It's honestly hard for me to put my finger on it. I mean, he spoke about he tried to change and alter and fix some of his technique issues during the year, and that fouled him up. I'm not sure if that's real or if that's an excuse. It's hard for me to speak to it. You know, sometimes guys just have bad years, and there isn't a good explanation for it. It happens in all sports. I mean, that's why I think you have to give him a year to come back to try to, you know, recover and have another year like he had back in 2012. But I do not have a good reason for you. I really don't.
Yeah, because, there, you know, that's a position to run. The reason that sticks out to me is, you know, it's a position in a sport where, you know, there's a finite number of things that you need to do the right way. And how do you do them that wrong in relation to how you did them the year before? It'd be one thing if you'd never done it at a high level, you know, but having done it and then suddenly not being able to do it and all these things we checked off, that's just incredibly perplexing.
Well, you know, Anthony in Phoenix actually just sent a nice tweet in. I think it's a good point. that last year was the first year that Beattie did not have Chris Knee playing next to him. Maybe that had something to do with it. Who knows?
Yeah, well, that's the one I didn't check off. Maybe I said player next to him. Uh-huh.
Well, Snee on the Snee on the line with him at the very least. Obviously, Beattie's
right.
left tackle,
uh-huh.
Snee's a right guard, but he didn't have uh-huh. him on the line with him at that point. And there were a lot of rotations at left guard. Booth was there. Other guys were kind of in and out. So, you know, maybe uh-huh. something like that. I mean, you can argue that, you know, David Deal wasn't over there. He played there a little bit. So, I mean, you can point to a lot of different things. But sometimes guys just have bad years.
Yeah, the other thing is, you know, I thought I was crazy even thinking in those terms. And, again, I can never figure out the cap and how it works. And thank you for all your efforts in elucidating those terms. But the when I heard about Revis this morning, I started to think and I said, you know, my goodness. I mean, you know, Seattle has shown that defense still wins in this league. And I started to look at things thinking if we could re-sign, you know, Beeson and Tuck and JPP, you know, return to form. And if you could plug him over there next to Prince with our safeties, I mean, and if that pass rush returns to form, I don't see a big difference than what we could put on the field than what Seattle could put on the field. And I think we could score 18, 20 points a game and win. Do you think that's feasible? And is it possible that we could put something together? And if you, you know, would you think it might be something to look at?
What, focusing on defense and trying to put together a Seattle type of defense is what you're talking about?
Well, trying to bring Revis in.
Revis, I mean, here's the problem with Darrell Revis. Look, he's going to cost you probably minimum 40%, maybe even close to 50% of your cap space. If you bring Revis in, the result of that is going to be neglecting your offensive line, and I don't think you can afford to do that in free agency.
But do you think that that, you know, if you look at him next to our safeties, if we had Beeson in a back-to-form Tuck and JPP, that, you know, we could win with 18 points a game. I mean, that seemed to me would be stout. I don't know what – and then if you could bring in maybe Brown, you know, they force teams to put it up there, you know, to have somebody to pick them off. I just think we'd be incredibly strong on D.
I think you would be. I still don't think you'd be to the point – where you have a Seattle type of defense. But I see where you're going with it. Thanks for the call, Frank.
And, John, just one question.
Yeah, quick.
Would that be feasible under the cap if you wanted to do it?
I mean, you could fit Revis, Tuck, and Beeson under the cap, but then, quite frankly, your offense would stink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be terrible.
And we'd have to give a draft pick up, you believe?
No, I mean, I from what it looks like, Tampa's going to cut Revis by the end of the day if they can't figure out a trade. So it looks like if you'd want to go get him, you could go out there and get him without having to give anything up.
Thanks so much, John.
Appreciate it. But look, honestly, though, if you go into next offseason and you use all your resources on defense and you go into this next season with this offensive line, Eli's not making it through the year. You're going to look at Curtis Painter in week 8. You got lucky he didn't get hurt till week 16 last year. Week 17 last year, excuse me. And he won't make it. He'll get killed. And frankly, it's a moot point because as the reports are out there that the Giants are going hard at their offensive linemen. So I think that's where their focus is going to be, getting that offensive line better. The same way after the 2012 season, they said we need to get better against the run. 2013, they said we need to get better on the offensive line. And that's their focus in free agency, just the way it should be. We got two more calls on the show. We'll take him, and then we'll say goodbye. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland next. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How are you? Great
well.
Day to be a Giant. Great day to be a Giants fan. This is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that 4 o'clock show. That sounds interesting.
It should be fun.
That sounds really – yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Listen, just a quick question. You don't have to respond, but here's what I'm thinking about. What in the world is Phil Jackson going to do for us sitting behind a desk? Let's go on to football. But
Len, you know what he could do? He could hire the right coach, and he can logical decisions in the front office instead of a guy like Steve Mills, who's, by the way, Steve Mills' next trade he makes will be the first he's ever orchestrated in the NBA.
I know, that's scary. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. You know, if Peyton Hillis tries to be Adrian Robinson, he's going to fail miserably. If Will Beattie tries to be Tyrone Smith, he's going to fail miserably. Just be Will Beattie. Do what we're paying you the $35 million to do. I think that's where the problem lies. I think this guy tried to be a different player. to elevate his game based on the money that we were being he was being paid. We were paying that money because we thought we were getting Will Beatty. Just be Will Beatty. Get your head straight. Just be Will Beatty.
Len, by the way, I want to interrupt you for a real quick sec. News breaking, Pro Football Talk reporting that the Falcons have assigned, come to an agreement, and signed Chiefs guard John Asamoah for about $4.5 million a year. So to me, that will kind of set the market for the contract that Jeff Schwartz will probably eventually get.
Well, now let me ask you, can they do that? Or is that just projecting that at 4 o'clock they will?
Well, look, this is the negotiating period, so you can come to verbal agreements and then sign the contract once we get to 4 o'clock.
Okay. Now our main competition for Schwartz is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Could be, yeah, because if they lost one guard, do they want to lose another?
Because they lost one guard already. They can't let Schwartz go.
That's a good point.
I'm disappointed to hear that because I was going to say, and if this still works out, this would be great. You talked about getting Dietrich Smith and Jeff Schwartz, and you threw out a number, I think 6-1, 4-0. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, if we could get both those guys for $10 million in cap money next year, oh, geez, I'd be a happy guy, John.
I think most people would be.
Oh, my gosh, because those are favorable deals. Listen, I can live with the following. I know Michael didn't like this assessment last week, but here we go. If on opening night, John, opening night, whatever it turns out to be, Beatty healthy at left tackle, either Mosley or Booth at left guard, and the other guy is the first guy off the bench, top flight free agent center, either Dietrich Smith or De La Puente from New Orleans, Snee and a second-round draft choice at right guard. Pugh at right tackle. Listen, John, I can live with that. Let's not get greedy. Let's do this in incremental steps. Let's move forward and fill in some other positions. Running back is a disaster area. Good for Peyton Hillis. The guy played hard last year. He's fine. But we're not going past 7-9 with Peyton Hillis running the football for us. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We got hurt at running back. Brown getting hurt, Wilson getting hurt. I mean, we almost have to sign two other running backs.
Yeah, and obviously, Payne Hillis isn't the answer. You're going to have to bring in a more accomplished guy that's going to carry the load.
That's right. And we hope for some of those younger guys. I'm hoping that Mosley comes forward. But listen, I can live with that kind of scenario, and maybe that second-round draft choice by midseason is taken over for Chris. I hope he makes this roster. I hope he gets the one more year. I sense that he wants it badly, and I hope for his sake that he gets that he can contribute. But I just have no confidence that the guy can last the whole year playing every down at right tackle. And I think we got to address that in the second or third round as somebody to play right guard. But I can live with that offensive line. Hey, John, listen, I'm going to listen at 4 o'clock. That sounds really exciting. Oh, one quick question. I don't know if you're going to be busy today, but what does Pro Football Focus say about Dietrich Smith in terms of run blocking and pass blocking? Well, you know, we're talking about this guy. He's at the top of the free agent list, but in terms of their ranking, do they think this guy can pass block first? That's what I want. Protect Eli. I'm in the protect Eli mode.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember what Pete Domelotta's told us, and he was on a couple weeks ago. I believe he said he was a slightly better pass blocker than a run blocker, which would make sense in the Packers system. But honestly, don't quote me on that. I'll see what I can find out for you by 4 o'clock.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I hope it is. If it's got to go 60-40, I hope it's short pass blocking because protect Eli, John. Protect Eli. Hey, I'll be listening at 4. That's going to be fun. Thanks, John.
Hey, call in too, Len. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
201-939-4513. And by the way, we have our special 4 o'clock show of Big Blue Kickoff Live this afternoon on Giants.com. Make sure you check it out. Who knows? Maybe if the Giants do make some type of move, we might have a special guest or two. Who knows? We'll see. If the time works out, we'll try to do it. If it doesn't, maybe not. We'll see what we can do. One more call before we say goodbye? Sure, why not? We got one guy in the line. Andrew's in Stanhope. Andrew, you solo today or is Andrew Sr. with you?
I'm solo, but he's listening on the internet. Hi to my dad and Shakes and Len and everyone listening. Yesterday, I was mistaken. I said I didn't like the Giants organization for back and forth with Gilbride, but actually they didn't engage in a back and forth. It was Gilbride who described it as cheap shots, which really there were no cheap shots at Gilbride. So, you know, I think Gilbride was exaggerating and over, you know, drama. But I just want to clarify that. And I'm excited about the offensive line, whoever they're going to sign. And I got a kick out of David Bass. He reminded me of Steve Martin in The Jerk. Did you ever see that movie, or is that before your time?
I am aware of The Jerks. I must admit, I have never watched The Jerks from start to finish. But I have heard good things. Our boss, I believe Don Sperling, is a big fan of The Jerks.
Good, because your call screener approved me to tell the joke. David Bass, I always got a kick out of him in the pregame rah-rah huddles. He was the only white guy, and he had no rhythm. He was real stiff, you know, and goofy. And it reminded me of Steve Martin in The Jerk. He's adopted by a black family down south, and he has no rhythm, like he doesn't fit in when they dance or play music. So it always reminded me of that. But hopefully we'll get a center, and I know the offensive linemen usually are not good dancers, but hopefully we'll get a great center, and you know, we're on the we'll be on a roll if you stay healthy. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Andrew. And Dan Salamone is not taking credit for that joke, by the way, just for the record. Oh, man. I don't know what he was watching. I mean, Mosley's there. You know, Boss, Snee, Deal, Pew. Just saying. Oh, boy. What a way to end the show. Everybody, good job on the phones. Good job online. Let me do a quick peek here, see if there's any other news breaking before I say goodbye. Let's see. Word has it that the Cowboys might come to a final decision on DeMarcus Ware today. See, I think they're bluffing. I don't think that. I know Jerry Jones pretty well. I don't think Jerry Jones is going to cut DeMarcus Ware. Just the gut feeling that I have. Looks like Arthur Jones is heading to the Colts. Matt Schaub, this is off ProFootballTalk.com, by the way. Matt Schaub, serious possibility for the Browns. Steve Smith is trying to get dealt by the Panthers. Revis is trying to get dealt by the Bucks. Redskins and Andre Roberts have reached an agreement on the contract. That's interesting. Andre Roberts is a nice little deep threat, young wide receiver for the Cardinals last year. Up and coming. That's actually a strangely savvy signing, in my opinion, by the Redskins. I like that for Washington. That's a good move. Alex Mack's agent says that he believes he can come to an agreement with another team that the Browns wouldn't be able to match. We'll see. Not sure I buy that. What else do we got here? One other guy was going to get traded. As I mentioned, John Asamoah going to the Falcons. Oh, and the Bears are trying to deal Julius Peppers, so they don't have to cut him outright. They want to try to get something back for him. So I think that's interesting. Now, I wonder why Dallas isn't doing that. Why wouldn't Dallas try to trade Ware once he refuses to take a pay cut? Because to me, he's someone you can still get value for. That's interesting. I wonder if they consider that. Everybody, good job on the phones. Good job online. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll be back with you with a special 4 p.m. show today on Giants.com. Make sure you come and you check it out. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you later on this afternoon. By the way, Lance Meadows with you tomorrow. I am traveling for a college basketball game. I will be back on Thursday, but maybe not for the morning show. My flight doesn't get until like 10:27, so we'll try to have Lance cover on Thursday morning as well. And hopefully on Giants.com next couple days, we'll have some free agency news. Get some guys in-house here, and if they do come and sign here and they're in the building, we will try to get them on camera for you on Giants.com for a little one-on-one interview as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you today at 4 o'clock when the free agency clock officially begins to tick right here on Giants.com. We'll see you then.